Hello, my friend. Welcome to Life Changers, and I'm glad you joined us. I was talking to you about the need for revival last week, and I'd like to continue on the same theme today. We looked at three reasons why we need a spiritual revival. The first one is the need for a renewal of our minds. And I quoted from Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 28, where we read, He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the second reason why we need a revival is because we are not happy. And we looked at some statistics that showed us that even as people became rich, that they were not happier than average person who is not that rich. The third reason for revival is our need for love. We feel that many people are being pushed over the edge because of that lack of love and relationship problems, and how revival can bring love in our relationships and in our families. Now, the fourth reason for revival is that we need forgiveness from sin and guilt. Again, the fourth reason for revival is that we need forgiveness from sin and guilt. Do people feel guilty for their actions? Yes, they do. Not only that they feel guilty, they also long for forgiveness. An organization in Los Angeles operates the Apology Sound Off Line, a telephone service that gives callers an opportunity to confess their wrongs for the price of a phone call. People who no longer believe in priests now trust their sins to an answering machine. 200 anonymous callers contact the service each day, leaving 60-second messages. Adultery is a common confession. Some callers confess to criminal acts, rape, child sexual abuse, and even murder. I don't know if this organization still exists, but it conveys a strong message that people, even in our modern world, feel guilty and seek forgiveness. Now, the final reason for revival is our need for grace and truth. Again, the final reason is our need for grace and truth. To me, the need for grace and truth is more now than ever before. Grace is pardon that we do not deserve. Other words that we use are forgiveness and mercy. In reality, what we are saying is, don't punish me, God, let me go. This is the heart cry of all of us human beings who err all the time. History tells us that there is one person who has nothing but grace and mercy for us, and that is Jesus. John, one of his disciples, knowing him so closely for many years, said, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." This is in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 7. He was full of grace and truth. It doesn't matter what we have done. He is full of grace that he will forgive us. That is also the central message of Christ's gospel or good news, that he forgives and pardons. James, his half-brother, noted this too in his book. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, he gives grace to the humble. We live in a world where people do not show this grace and mercy to each other. When Hitler killed 6 million Jews, there was no grace. We hear of this kind of atrocities all the time, all over the world, and there is no grace or mercy in all such places. Look how Jesus Christ showed grace and mercy. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, from verse 1, we see a woman caught in adultery brought to Jesus so that he could present a verdict. His response to the crowd that brought this lady to him was, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Their response was to leave the scene. Finally, Jesus turning to this lady and stated, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on do not sin again." Jesus would most likely say the same to us too. "You are pardoned. Do not sin again." This act of grace is nicely illustrated in a parable that Christ shared in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20 from verse 1. This landowner sent out his laborers early in the morning to his vineyard, promising them their daily wage. When he went out at 9 o'clock, he saw some laborers still waiting in the marketplace to be hired. He recruited them and asked them to go into his vineyard. At noon and at 3 p.m., he found more people waiting to be hired in the marketplace. He recruited them and sent them to the vineyard. At 5 p.m., he went to the marketplace and saw more laborers standing there. He asked them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He asked them also to go into his vineyard and work. In the evening, when he paid wages, he paid the same to all. Of course, the ones who were there from early morning complained because they got only what the latecomers got. This is grace. The latecomers didn't merit it, but he gave it to them generously. This is how the Lord deals with us. We do not merit it, but he gives it to us. On numerous occasions, Jesus showed the same kind of mercy to people. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, he visits and heals a man who was at the Bethesda pool for 38 years. Nobody showed mercy to him, but Christ did. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, from verse 1, he healed a leper. Lepers were treated as outcasts in those days. We read in the scripture, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, from verse 46, Jesus healed a blind man called Bartimaeus. People tried to stop him from crying out to Jesus, but Jesus ordered, "Call him here. What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight. Basically, all of these healing episodes that we read in the Gospels are acts of grace. Revival is a time when God pours his grace on those who earnestly seek him for grace and mercy. In Christ's messages, he taught us to be practitioners of grace. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Show left cheek to those who hit on your right." In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, he said, "To those who snatch away your shirt, give your blanket." And in verse 41, he said, "If somebody desires to go 1 mile with you, go a second mile." And in verse 44, he said, "Love your enemies." Forgiveness is an outward expression of gracefulness. Forgiveness is denying our right to punish those who wronged against us. Getting even is not an act of grace. Only those who enjoy this grace from the Lord can forgive enemies. When Mrs. Staines forgave those men who burned to death her husband and children, she was demonstrating an act of grace. The hymnal "Amazing Grace" was written by John Newton, a cruel slave trader. He first called out to God in the midst of a storm that nearly threw him overboard. Later, he renounced his profession, became a minister, and fought against slavery. Forgiveness is not just an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude, according to Martin Luther King Jr. Friends, I hope this message was a blessing to you, and I hope this message will help you have that revival in your souls. and I hope you will earnestly seek for that Holy Ghost revival in your life. I hope you'll take a few moments to write to me. I will be giving my address in just a couple of minutes, so please stay tuned. Friends, thank you for listening to Life Changers. I hope you'll take a few moments to write to us and let us know what you think about the program. You may include your questions and comments and also mention any new topics that you want me to consider for future programs. Let me give you my address. Life Changers, P.O. Box 25066, Bangalore 560025, India. That address again is Life Changers, P.O. Box 25066, Bangalore 560025, India. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week at the same time. This is Dr. K.V. Abraham saying goodbye for now. The recording engineer is Tom John.